Listen to the people.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify.
Trouble.
An oppressed person will fight back.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Basics, CHRY 105.5 FM. This is Kabir here in the studio with the ever infamous Dave Chin.
What's up, Toronto?
Got an incredible show for you today in honor of Prisoners Justice Day, the 35th annual Prisoners Justice Day, which will be tomorrow, August 10th. There's going to be a full day of programming, special programming for that day offered here at CHRY. This is a day that really came out of prison rights struggles here in Canada and has developed into a time to commemorate the countless men and women who have been killed or murdered as a result of the horrific conditions created, maintained, and of course now being expanded in Canadian jails. So it's a day not only to demand the release of all political prisoners and falsely imprisoned both here in Canada and the United States, but stand in solidarity with all inmates as they demand a dismantlement of the prison system, an end to the mass incarceration and criminalization of Indigenous, Black, and other racialized people in Canada, an end to torture in jail, including the use of solitary confinement, an end to prison slave labor, and an end to the medical neglect of prisoners and all the other inhumane aspects that define the prison system and really make it such a desirable aspect of the Canadian state. Prisoners Justice Day actually originated coming out of mobilizations in the 1970s after one prisoner, Eddie Nalin, at the Millhaven Penitentiary in Kingston, Ontario, bled to death in solitary confinement because the emergency call button was broken in his cell, and this happened on August 10th, 1974. As a result of this, there was a massive mobilization on behalf of the prisoners at this penitentiary, and on the one-year anniversary of his death, inmates at that jail went on a hunger strike, you know, refused to go to work, and basically tried to hold a memorial service despite punishment and, you know, violence and repression by the prison guards. And then less than a year later, one prison organizer, Bobby Landers, was forcibly transferred into solitary confinement and as a result of that died of a heart attack in the hole while the guards were ignoring his calls for help. Since then, August 10th has been the date throughout Canadian jails for hunger strikes, demonstrations, and other acts of resistance to the Canadian prison system. We can see these mobilizations as becoming even more relevant today, as the Canadian state prepares to launch a $10 billion campaign over the next 5 years to expand existing jails, build new ones, and create new laws that will put people away for longer periods of time, and really in every other way attempt to draw us closer to the American prison industrial complex, which is no doubt the largest and among the most brutal prison systems in history. And, you know, we already know the bodies that will fill these new cells and institutions will be poor and largely racialized and Indigenous people, as expanded prisons will inevitably mean expanded police terror, brutality, and racism throughout this city and throughout the country. So therefore, we're dedicating the hour to prisoners, to, you know, looking at the prison system not only here in Canada, but of course in the United States as well, looking at different struggles, whether that be to free individual political prisoners or overall to overhaul and dismantle the prison industrial complex. So in commemoration of tomorrow's anniversary, we're going to be playing an interview that was done earlier today with the publisher of Kevin Rashid Johnson. Big Tom Warrior is his name, and he publishes a newsletter that talks about a number of issues relating to prisons as well as, you know, the issues that are going on outside of prisons. And just for a little bit of a recap, Kevin Rashid Johnson is the defense minister of the New African Black Panther Party prison chapter. He's an inmate at the maximum security Red Onion State Prison in Virginia. And he's been the target of a number of cases of brutality and torture by the prison guards over there. Later on in the program, we're really honored to be joined live on air from Chicago by Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. of the Prisoners of Conscience Committee, and of course also the son of the late revolutionary thinker, warrior, activist, Fred Hampton of the Illinois chapter of the Black Panther Party. Really no introduction needed for him. So, you know, there's going to be a lot more of that, a lot of that general discussion on prison. Dave, what's your thought? What are some of your thoughts leading up to Prisoners Justice Day tomorrow about, you know, the state of affairs as we see it in Canada today?
Can you repeat that there, Kabir?
What are some of your thoughts going into Prisoners Justice Day tomorrow?
Well, I mean, we have, especially within the United States, but in Canada as well, both Indigenous and other racialized prisoners, especially of the political variety. We have a long legacy that I know in our work we take a lot of inspiration from. You know, George Jackson, Mumia, all the people from MOVE out in still in prisons, serving multiple life sentences for framed up charges. Applied by COINTELPRO and other apparatuses of the U.S. state. And we know with an emerging prison industrial complex right here in Canada that prisons, policing, that form of brutality, that form of violence, being locked away in a way, in a cage, is becoming a very, very lucrative business proposition for a lot of statesmen and state officials.
Most definitely. And I think we can see a lot, both of us being part of the Justice for All We campaign against police brutality, how the two things are very interconnected. Whether we look at any issues, whether we look at, you know, the school system and struggles that are taking place there to you know, make schools more inclusive, to stop the criminalization of youth in schools, to end the program putting police in schools. We see these measures very much aimed towards fueling the schools to prison pipeline, as it has been you know, referred to, where youth are really being pushed from school to prison. Whether we see that with police brutality, massive raids, you know, incarcerating dozens if not hundreds of youth at a time, you know, from a specific area, many of which a few years, you know, down the road, we turn out are completely innocent of any charges. So I think we're going to be going to a quick track by Nas. I have queued up, and we're going to come back after the break with Big Tom Warrior, publisher of political prisoner Kevin Rashid Johnson. Stay tuned, Radio Basics.
Free Leonard Peltier, free Mumia.
Prisoner's Justice Day.
Six by nine, living hell, stone wall, metal bars for the guards in jail. My nickname, the can, the slammer, the big house. I'm the place many fear, cause there's no way out. I take the sun away, put misery instead. When you with me, most folks consider you dead. I saw too many inmates falling apart. Call for the guards to let them out at night when it's dark. Convicts think they alone, but if they listen close, they can hear me groan. Touch the wall, feel my pulse. All the pictures you put up, it's stuck to my skin. I hear your prayers, even when you're whispering. I make it hotter in the summer, colder in the winter. If the ball parole ya, then another con enters. No remorse for your tears, I seen them too often. When you cry, I make you feel alive inside a coffin. Watch you when you eat, play with your mind when you sleep. Make you dream that you free, then you wake up to me. Face to face with a cage, no matter your age. I can shatter you, turn you to a savage in rage. Change your life, that's if you get a chance to get out. Cause only you and I know what suffering's about. Yo, it's stunning when bed sheets become your woman. And I'm the one that got your weapons when the beef is coming. Maybe one day I'll open up my arms to release you. You'll always be my property. You stay legal, stay legal, stay legal, stay legal. Oh,
secure the ends for the children. Police only come to pick up spent shell, dry yellow tape like wire fence wall. Them don't know what I go on when the place gets tense. I'll start a machine, a rent all. With me granny always tell me life no self on shelf, so me take where me self or elsewhere. Jamaica me live, me know the craft. Man a liar, do me trot like humble calf. A Jamil, so me no look up to no boss. Allergic to shit, so me now kiss no ass. Go away with your program, move with your talk. Once bitten, twice shy, not take no close man. I love me say, a justice me want. But to own your pre and style me, me get a tough part. But me hope the law back me when me defend myself. Secure the ends for my children. Car police only come to pick up special. Dry yellow tape like a fence wall. Them don't have a clue when the place gets tense. I'll start a machine and rent boy. Be me granny always tell me life no self on shelf. So me take where myself or else what. My parents provide a good background. Never grow me up, no figure be no bloodhound. Circumstance make me step pound for pound. Cause it look like if you're born for hang, you can't drown. It look like that story are hilarious. I may give thanks for the years that were here. Nothing no put down, me say no miscellaneous. But the sacrifice we make, it will make others brave up. But me hope the law back me when me defend myself. Secure the ends for my children. Car police only come to pick up spent shell. Dry yellow tape like a fence now. Them don't have a clue when the place gets tense. I'll start a machine a rent boy. Feed me granny always tell me life no self on shelf. So me
no one believes me.
My friends blame me. Said I should have fought back.
They say it's my fault because I was drinking.
We don't believe the myths about sexual assault. We believe you. We are the Sexual Assault and Domestic Violence Care Center, located at Scarborough Hospital, Grace Division. For help or information, please call us at 416-495-2555. You are not alone.
Time now for Living Well in 60 Seconds on CHRY.
The greatest wealth is health. Many people worry that if they eat too much sugar, they will develop diabetes. In fact, sugar does not directly cause diabetes, but if consumed in excess, it can result in weight gain, which over time may play a role in the development of diabetes. Persons who are overweight are unable to properly use insulin, the hormone that acts as a key to open cells and allow the sugar in the blood to get inside. So remember, although eating sugar doesn't mean one gets diabetes, it is still important to limit foods like baked goods, juices, sodas, and refined grains like white bread because they carry unwanted calories and not a lot of nutrients. Focus instead on a balanced diet that includes whole grains and fruits and vegetables. This tip is brought to you by the Live Free Prevent Diabetes team, funded by the Toronto Central Link.
This has been Living Well in 60 Seconds on CHRY.
On August 10, 1974, prisoner Eddie Nalin bled to death in the segregation unit of Millhaven Maximum Security Prison in Bath, Ontario. 1 year later, prisoners at Millhaven refused to work, went on a one-day hunger strike, and held a memorial service, even though it meant time in solitary confinement. Tuesday, August 10th marks the annual Prisoners' Justice Day, a day to critically examine Canada's criminal justice and psychiatric systems. Tune in to CHRY this Tuesday from noon until 6 p.m. for a special broadcast including histories, interviews, and music dedicated to Prisoners' Justice Day.
I am Jim Lewis.
And I'm Kevin Padmore.
Together we host a fantastic program called Conscious Vibes.
Monday mornings, 4 a.m. to 7 a.m.
Off the Chest at 5:30.
Devotion at 6.
Your Money at 6:15.
Followed by celebrations and dedications.
Not forgetting Foreplay at 6:30.
Information, education, and entertainment.
So come and join the growing family of Conscious Vibes.
You won't be disappointed.
Every Monday morning
from 4 a.m. to 7 a.m.
On CHRY 105.5 FM.
Your community radio,
CHRY
105.5.
We're back, Radio Basics. We're just listening to the plug by Matt Fava on
Mr. Fava
on the day of programming they're going to be having tomorrow for Prisoners' Justice Day. This is an even better tribute to Prisoners' Justice Day, Radio Basics. In any case, joking, of course, we're going to be playing an interview that was done earlier today by bassist correspondent Nadine Al-Qassam with Tom Big Warrior, who is the publisher for Kevin Rashid Johnson. Kevin Rashid Johnson being the defense minister for the new African Black Panther Party prison chapter and a political prisoner in Virginia's super maximum prison, Red Onion. He is the target of regular violence and torture by prison officials, including beatings and just most recently electric shock torture. His basic rights of access to medical care, mail, phone, and finances are regularly denied, and he frequently is prevented from accessing legal assistance in the trumped-up cases he is being charged with, abuse that directly stems from him being a committed revolutionary who regularly writes lengthy political documents and produces incredible revolutionary artwork. The interview will also be played tomorrow as part of CHRY's special broadcast in honor of Prisoners Justice Day.
Hi everyone, this is Nadine reporting for Radio Basics. Tomorrow, as some of you might know and some of you might not know, August 10th is Prisoners Justice Day, and we are currently in the month of August, which is also known as Black August. For more information on Black August, please see Basics' last show, which was aired on CHRY last Monday. I'm not going to get too much into that, but in order to shed some light on some injustices being faced by prisoners in North America, today we are going to be talking with Tom Big Warrior. Tom Big Warrior is from the Red Heart Warrior Society, which is a fraternal organization of the New African Black Panther Party. And he's also part of Rising Sun Press, which is the publisher for the New African Black Panther Party. And today Tom is going to be telling us a little bit about the situation of political prisoner Kevin Rashid Johnson, who is the Minister of Defense of the New African Black Panther Party. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, how you doing?
Great, thanks. I hope you're also doing well.
Yeah.
So let's get started by asking you, who exactly is the New African Black Panther Party, and who is Kevin Rashid Johnson?
Well, the New African Black Panther Party started in 2005. As a prison chapter. I had started in 2000 the Red Heart Warrior Society, and a couple years after that I was asked by a group of black prisoners, including Angel Coley, who was the founder of the Black Panther Breakfast for Children program in Philadelphia, if we would help them get an organization started of black prisoners similar to the Red Heart Warrior Society, and that's how the Black Brigade came into existence. And then a Panther faction originated within the Black Brigade, led by Kevin and Shaka Zulu, who was a prisoner in New Jersey, and evolved into the New African Black Panther Party prison chapter.
And could you tell us a little bit more about Kevin himself? How did he end up getting involved in the New African Black Panther Party prison chapter? And what are some of the activities that he's undertaken as part of the party?
Well, he joined originally the Black Brigade, but he was politically a lot more advanced than anybody else at that time. And, in fact, Shaka was his first political involvement was, you know, along the lines of the new Black Panther Party. And there was a lot of struggle between Kevin and Shaka, in which Shaka was won over, and they decided that the new African Black Panther Party would continue the political line of the original Black Panther Party, updated to, you know, this time period.
When I came to visit you a little while back, you had told me a little bit about the current situation of Kevin Rashid Johnson in prison right now. And you had mentioned that, unfortunately, because of various factors, there was a lack of awareness around Rashid's case and also around the New African Black Panther Party on the outside. I know that in the prisons, you guys are fairly well known, but outside, we don't know a lot about what's happening to Rashid right now. So could you tell us a little bit about why there is this lack of awareness, why we need to raise awareness, and also some of the tactics that are being used by the state to basically silence Rashid politically and abuse him in terms of his basic human rights.
Kevin's been under intense physical, psychological, you know, political repression all along, particularly since the formation of the New African Black Panther Party. This has included everything from a whole series of false criminal charges that they've brought against him, including attempted murder and guards and things like that, which they drop when it comes to court because, you know, it is bogus, and usually they're not very good at putting together their frame-ups, and he's able to pull them apart and, you know, in the court, so they back off again. But it's mostly a harassment tactic to keep him pinned down with a lot of legal hassles, which they won't allow him to have an attorney for. He has to represent himself. It's also included physical torture, such as putting a stun belt on him and giving him electric shocks. He's been, you know, jumped by guards and, you know, forced to defend himself, and they've got tried to get other prisoners to attack him. It's basically the same kind of things that, you know, have been done to other political prisoners like George Jackson and Mumia and others.
Now, with people like Mumia and other political prisoners, over the last few years, decades, there has been a lot of support on the outside to raise awareness around the abuses that they have experienced. Why is it that in Rashid's case, it has been difficult to gain that support? And why is it necessary that we mount similar campaigns to the ones that have been mounted in order to raise awareness around what is happening to political prisoners like Mumia?
Well, I think the big thing that's changed has been the left itself. Like, for example, with Leonard Peltier, at one time there was more than 100 Leonard Peltier support committees. Now there's one in the town where the prison is. There was used to be big demonstrations for Mumia. The July 4th demo was, I think, 200 people. And noticeably absent was any organized left groups. I think Kevin hit the nail on the head with an essay he wrote called What's Left of the Left, in that it seems that most of the groups have you know, so compromised themselves that, you know, they're like a left extension of the Democratic Party now and not, you know, real revolutionary organizations. So we pretty much have to rebuild the movement from scratch. And we're just reaching the point now. The New African Black Panther Party and its affiliated groups have spread throughout the prison system in the U.S., but we're just beginning to start making contacts on the outside and working towards developing chapters. We have one chapter of the White Panther organization, and I understand we have three young guys that are in Bethlehem that want to start a Brown Panther chapter. You know, at an early stage in the development of a new wave of revolutionary movement.
Now, you mentioned the White Panther organization as well as the Brown Panther organizations. Could you tell us a little bit about these two organizations that people might not know as much about?
After we started the Black Panthers, we started getting inquiries from white prisoners who wanted to know what they could do to help and would it be possible for them to join. So, you know, we talked it over and decided that, you know, we would create an auxiliary or an arm of the party made up of white prisoners. And to our surprise, it's grown like a weed. It's now in many prisons and, you know, starting up on the outside.
And what about the Brown Panthers?
Well, we have a lot of comrades with, you know, Hispanic names that are in the Black Panthers, the Red Heart Warriors, and the White Panthers. So we decided it was be a good idea to create an organization that was tailored to them. That's, again, in its early stages now.
You also mentioned the Red Heart Warrior Society, which you yourself have been a longstanding member of. Can you tell us a little bit about that organization as well?
Well, we started, in 2000. I had been asked a few years earlier by my chief to take over his inmate correspondence. And we started publishing a newsletter that was called The Wampum, which was about revitalizing the Lenape Nation. I began getting more and more letters from, you know, Cherokees and Iroquois and such saying that, you know, they've written to their tribal groups and gotten no response, and they were very interested in learning what we were teaching. And so in 2000, we decided to create a intertribal organization that was open to everybody, and you know, including people that aren't registered as Indians but have some Indian heritage. And mostly it's focused on how to be a warrior in the 21st century. You know, like my chief used to say, we can no longer go back to making our living with a bow and a hoe. And in fact, most Indians are actually proletarians that, you know, work for wages. It was kind of natural that we would align ourselves with the Black Panthers and with other groups that suffer both national oppression and class oppression.
You mentioned the Wampum, which is the newsletter of the Red Heart Warrior Society, and I know personally that I've read some amazing work by Kevin Rashid Johnson and others coming out of the Rising Sun Press. How can people get a hold of some of this literature?
We haven't really a distribution set up for outside prisoners, but people can contact us by our P.O. Box, which is 4362... Allentown, Pennsylvania, 18105. And, you know, if they can send us a little donation, we'd be happy to send them some copies. It's really tight for funds. We can't afford to print and mail enough to meet all the demands we have for prisoners. So people on the outside really have to pay their own way because we can't take on more freebies.
And are there other ways that people on the outside can support the New African Black Panther Party and also Rashid and other prisoners' causes? For example, I know that there were some fundraising initiatives.
Yeah, we've been selling T-shirts. Kevin's also a great artist. Some people compare him to a cross between Emery and George Jackson. He contributed artwork to a lot of different movement organizations like the Forced Struggle magazine and California Prison News, anti-racism newspaper out of L.A. I know other groups have used his artwork. So we made up some T-shirts that we've been selling to raise money. We're also working on trying to get on the Internet. My problem is I'm almost 60 years old and not very computer literate, but we need younger people that are good at computers that can help us get the message online and reach a broader group of people.
Now, so if people wanted to purchase T-shirts, should they also write to the same P.O. Box address?
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll mention that P.O. Box address at the end of the interview once again, but before we go there, I wanted to ask you as well about some of the other prisoners who have been involved with the New African Black Panther Party who have been targeted. I know you mentioned Casey, who is, I believe is in the same prison as Rashid.
Yeah, they're both in Red Onion, which is one of the worst prisons in America. It's way, way rural Virginia, almost to Tennessee. And they pretty much ignore the Constitution and federal court orders and just do what they please over there. And recently, Casey got shot three times while in his rec cage in the yard because a guard decided he was going to force his way into the rec cage and assault Casey to teach him respect, he said. And, of course, he defended himself and resisted the guy coming in the cage, so while he was resisting, they opened fire on him from the gun tower, and he received three bullet wounds. Generally, the harassment that guys go through boils down to interference with their mail, you know, verbal insults. They've tried throwing are guys in, you know, cell blocks with opposite ethnic groups, which hasn't worked out for them too well because they throw a Black Panther into a white cell block and we get a new White Panther chapter. They throw a white prisoner into a black cell block and we get a new Black Panther chapter. I can't even describe the intensity of the conditions that these guys are organizing under. But it's, you know, it's very inspiring for me, you know, to see people willing to risk life and limb to, you know, build this movement and to educate their fellow prisoners.
Wow, that's pretty incredible, given the some of the tactics that you've described that have been used against these prisoners. And it is inspiring to know that they keep on going despite the abuses to their basic human rights and all attempts by the state and prison guards to repress this growing movement. Before we end, I would just like to ask you if there's anything you wanted to add, tell the audience about the movement, the New African Black Panther Party, Rashid, what you guys are doing, and some of the ways in which people on the outside can learn more and also can build. As you had said, we need to rebuild from the bottom up right now. Some of the ways in which people can do that.
I think one of the things that's really inspiring the comrades today is the struggle that's going on around the world, like in Nepal and India, the Philippines, where, you know, there's definitely a new wave of revolution on the rise. I think also, you know, we went through like a backswing after the Panther Party was smashed. There was a swing towards both cultural nationalism and gangsterism. And a lot of the people that are joining us today are people who had, you know, been arrested for gangbanging with the Bloods or the Crips or other groups and got their political consciousness in the prisons. I know for Kevin and for Shaka and others, it was meeting up with or making contact with the old political prisoners from the Panther Party that introduced them to, you know, Marx, Lenin, Mao, you know, Fanon and other writers. I think as far as building today, we really have to look to the most oppressed groups that the black middle class particularly has pretty much sold out the black masses and joined the white middle class. At the same token, the poor whites and the Hispanics and others are, you know, in a situation where they're surplus to the job market and are being pushed into the, you know, the prison industrial complex. You know, there's a real sharpening of the you know, conditions for the different classes in America. And that the oppressed classes have to rely on themselves to build their own political organizations and not rely on, you know, the college radicals to direct them.
Well, on that note, Tom, I'd like to thank you for joining us today, and I'd like to let the audience know that Tom will be joining us again in the future on Radio Basics to tell us a little bit more about the history of the Black Panthers, the White Panthers, and other organizations throughout the years, some of the amazing things that they have done, some of their some of the lessons that we can learn from these organizations so that we, as a movement, can rebuild and can support people on the inside as well as build a movement on the outside. Tom, just for our listeners, if you could repeat once again how people can get in touch with the New African Black Panther Party as well as the Rising Sun Press.
Okay, it's same address, Rising Sun Press, P.O. Box 4362, Allentown, Pennsylvania, 18105.
Thanks so much for joining us today, Tom. Please give Rashid our expressions of solidarity, as well as the other prisoners who are experiencing this horrible treatment. And we will do what we can here on the outside in Toronto to get the word out about what is happening to these warriors and how we can build here on the outside. Thank you.
Thank you, Nadine.
top. This Warren G, you know what I'm saying? Chilling with my man Slick Rick, you know? And we're gonna give y'all a little tale about that jail stuff, you know? So, Rick, why don't you run it, homie?
In the slamming kid,
but I'm innocent.
Lord played with, he wasn't having any pity.
Now in Razor Blade City.
Cries opposed to situation, seen mad eyes opposed, tries arose.
Hey, yo, money, what size are those?
Neither phone me, two, another sprang up. To gang up.
On this kid, house in the phone like he didn't know how to hang up.
Be hard though, up to a minute or so, and then yells, time on.
And when you get your commissary by this and that, or else I'm gonna
feel a to will stay off.
Extort, figure I safe, where you're
feeling death.
You ain't protecting me.
Forgot today's my day,
hold my head and drift, assume away is nuts and cars.
Instead of sitting here accumulating cuts and scars behind bars.
This time, it happens every day.
Six songs, showing off, cause on the phone.
Click,
losing all the hoes off.
How's the watch?
And Donna took all of the clothes off.
How it goes, it's for my close figure telling.
Every night it seemed like ice be in and out of.
Still ain't home.
Back on the hook, seen a bunch of kids look.
Miss outdoors, never know what you have until it's took.
And in trap, moment you fear,
all of that.
And quotes.
So in the cell, did the exercise in the road.
I be a bigger star than you, though never heard of it.
Takes my raps to read aloud.
I wanted to murder them.
Just kidding, though offensive. Bit.
Finally he ended.
Case dismissed, but your honor,
DA kindly prevented
it. He told the judge, don't free him, this brother trigger wars.
And now that's that because I refuse to watch, I'm giant.
So hold ahead, drift, assume away in knots and cars.
Instead of sitting here accumulating cuts and scars behind bars.
This
time it happens every day.
Crimes, melee, and disturbances of the peace.
What fighting? Tripsio.
The rest he might scare about couldn't squeal.
I was like, officer, that right there.
Now if he ain't get me, his friends will.
Needed a utensil.
Turn, I had to stab him in the eye with a pencil.
Stay the shocky man to yell, I said,
now what you want, traitor?
CO puts me in the bitch.
I say about a month later.
Back in population, didn't matter that his friends tense.
The phone bridge, the years added to the sentence. Still chilling and all of that.
And I escaped when I didn't think so. They'll hit the cell because they made a rape attempt.
Thank goodness failed.
For the next he wailed out, here go to CO.
Ricky Walters, back up, you're bailed out.
The CO couldn't see the rape, the kid'll snitch mass figure.
Fast trigger, you'll be back, you little.
Not a war, back to being sluts and stars.
At least for now,
no more accumulating cuts and scars behind bars.
This time, it happens every day.
Six songs,
pop,
stop,
honey, I love you. I can't do this.
Loyal soldier Macbeth, you are ruthless Mac assassin.
Let me think.
Don't think, just do. Be the snake in the grass ready to bite him, damn it off. Duncan must be taken care of tonight with his favorite Escovitch fish.
Rinka Entertainment presents General Macbeth, Castle Upon the Sand, starring Terry Salmon, John Phillips, David Smith. Opens August 21st, 7 p.m., the Toronto Center for the Arts, 5040 Yonge Street. Tickets at Ticketmaster or visit rinkaentertainment.com, 647-348-4311.
Sponsored by MCB Remittance. Time now for Living Well in 60 Seconds on CHRY.
The greatest wealth is health. Many people worry that if they eat too much sugar, they will develop diabetes. In fact, sugar does not directly cause diabetes, but if consumed in excess, it can result in weight gain, which over time may play a role in the development of diabetes. Persons who are overweight are unable to properly use insulin, the hormone that acts as a
counter
and allow the sugar in the blood to get inside. So remember, although eating sugar doesn't mean one gets diabetes, it is still important to limit foods like baked goods, juices, sodas, and refined grains like white bread because they carry unwanted calories and not a lot of nutrients. Focus instead on a balanced diet that includes whole grains and fruits and vegetables. This tip is brought to you by the Live Free Prevent Diabetes team, funded by the Toronto Central Link.
This has been Living Well in 60 Seconds on CHRY.
Love metal? Give CHRY's The Red Switch a try. It's Toronto's only pure metal show. The mayhem comes at you every Wednesday night at midnight. For two solid hours, you'll hear amazing local talent and crushing brutality of bigger acts like Killswitch Engage, Macedon, and The Red Cord. Every show, Matt and Ash bring you a different theme covering everything from tech metal to black metal to progressive metal. Don't be afraid. You might even learn something.
You're listening to CHRY 105.5 FM, your community radio.
Yeah, we're just going to go to a quick track. I apologize to anyone who might be offended by some of the language, but it's a special tribute to Fred Hampton Jr., so we felt that it was appropriate to play.
Let's go, fellas. Showtime's up in 5 minutes. That's it. 5 more minutes and that's it. Back to work, fellas. Back to work.
Yo. Little Khadija pops his lock, she wanna pop the lock. My prison ain't nothing but a private stock, and she be dreaming about his day to release. She hate the police, but loved by her grandma who hugs and kisses her. Her father's a political prisoner, free Fred, son of a panther that the government shot dead back in 12-4-1969. 4 o'clock in the morning, it's terrible but it's fine, cause Fred Hampton Jr. looks just like him, walks just like him, talks just like him. And it might be frightening the feds and the snitches to see him organize the gang brothers and sisters, so he had to be framed. Yo, you know how the game go, 18 years because the 5-0 said so. They said he set a fire to an A-Rap store, but he ignited the minds of the young black and poor. Behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escaped the jail fate. Super maximum cans will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up.
Collect call from Ness. Yo, shit is crazy, boy. Yeah, I miss you. Yo, what?
Lil Kenny been smoking Lucy since he was 12. Now he 25, locked up with a L. They call him Triple K, cause he killed 3 niggas. Another ghetto child got turned into a killer. His pops was a Vietnam veteran on heroin, used like a pawn by these white North Americans. Mama couldn't handle the stress and went crazy. Grandmama had to raise the baby, just a young boy, born to a life of poverty. Hustling, robbery, whatever brung the paper home. Carried the chrome like a blind man, hold a cane. Tattoos all over his chest so you could know his name. But y'all know how the game go. D's kicked in the front door and guess who they came for? A young nigga had it caught a pen, coulda been, shoulda been. Never seen the hood again.
Behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escaped the jail fate. Super maximum camps will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up. Behind enemy lines, my niggas are cellmates. Most of the youth never escaped the jail fate. Super maximum camps will advance their game plan to keep us in the hands of the man locked up.
Cuando yo llamo es como tú no me quieres escuchar. No he visto mis hijos, mi mujer. No me mandan retrato, no tengo dinero. Estoy aquí jodido en la cárcel, metido.
You ain't got to be locked up to be in prison. Look how we living. 30,000 niggas a day up in the bin. Standard routine, they put us in a box. Just like our life on the block.
Behind enemies.
You ain't got to be locked up to be in prison. Look how we living. 30,000 niggas a day up in the bin. Standard routine, they put us in a box. Just like our life on the block.
Behind enemy lines.
Shout it in the head.
Basic, CHRY 105.5. George Jackson's song, of course, tribute to the revolutionary prison, revolutionary inmate George Jackson, who of course was assassinated as well while he was in prison, went to prison, became radicalized at a time when, you know, the Black Panther Party, the Young Lords, a lot of revolutionary organizations were operating on the outside. He began to build such revolutionary organizations as the Black Guerrilla Family and other units within prisons, and of course he's remembered to this day as one of the most inspirational prison activists throughout history. We definitely don't like to take such a treat away from our listeners, but unfortunately on this show we won't have time to have Fred Hampton Jr. on for the broadcast. We end at 9, and we don't want to just have him on for 5 minutes. However, we're going to do a pre-recorded show after Radio Basics is done right here in the CHRY studio, and we're going to put that interview up on the Basics site, the Fred Hampton interview, and it will also be played tomorrow as part of CHRY's live broadcast on Prisoners Justice Day, or most likely will be broadcast tomorrow. So you'll definitely be able to hear that if you click on the Basics site, but unfortunately you won't hear it in today's broadcast. Fred Hampton Jr., of course, the National Coordinator of the Prisoners of Conscience Committee, which is a revolutionary organization in America that was founded in the 9 years he spent in prison. In his own words, POC was literally birthed from behind enemy lines. Its birth canal was the concentration camps. Its umbilical cord was prison chains. And the POCC uses what happens inside prisons in the United States as a learning tool to understand the oppression that takes place on the outside, and define themselves as, quote, an organization of African revolutionary freedom fighters whose agenda it is to liberate the minds and hearts of African and colonized people. And definitely see themselves, another name for them is the Panther Cubs, being very much carrying on the legacy of not only his father, but the organization that Fred Hampton Sr. represented. The POCC recognizing that, you know, nobody is going to save them for themselves, in the sense that social democratic organizations, state-funded agencies, are in the end, regardless of the pitiful services they do provide, are in the end don't have the interests of the African community or any other oppressed community at heart, and therefore it's up to, you know, African and colonized people themselves to organize as many people as possible through their programs, through coalition building with other revolutionary organizations and people. They have a number of campaigns that they're engaged in, One Prisoner, One Contact campaign that, you know, builds direct links between an individual revolutionary on the outside and an individual political prisoner. Welcome Back to the Community campaign, which essentially helps newly released prisoners resettle into their communities with, you know, packages of clothing, food, other necessities to help them to readjust to outside life. Breakfast programs, Feed the People programs, other survival programs that are very much inspired from, you know, the very same programs that made the Black Panther Party so feared by authorities back in the 1970s and 60s. And also maintain, you know, strict code of culture and produce a number of political and ideological documents. They're not people that, see the conditions that we're facing today as somehow arising out of nowhere. There's a history to that, and there's a history of struggle that definitely needs to be studied and taken inspiration from. So it's definitely one of the most, very inspirational organization that's in the modern North American context, that's operating, that's organizing. And, when we're talking about police brutality, and in terms of speaking personally as a member of the Justice for Awi campaign, when, you know, we look at, I believe in Chicago, the rate of police shooting is like almost every 2 weeks there's a innocent or unarmed person murdered by the police or shot by the police in Chicago. So the fact that they've been able to maintain, an organization there that's able to organize and bring people out against violence that's that frequent and that brutal, and people are still willing to and courageous enough to put themselves out there and organize, is definitely very much a point of inspiration for us in our work. Have anything to add to that? I think you do.
No, that was very well put. POCC does some good work. Why don't you either tell us about the super jail and the emerging prison industrial complex here, or perhaps shed some light on the event taking place on September 11th of this year.
Not the event that took place on September 11th, 2001.
No, not to be confused with.
But, yeah, in fact, you know, when we're talking about Prison Justice Day and a lot of the content on today's show and that you'll see featured on the website later on, will be in reference to prison struggles in the U.S., which obviously have a much, you know, longer history, a more protracted, have been more advanced and also, you know, have been forced to become more advanced in certain circumstances just because of the level of violence that has taken place, and also the, you know, the number of political prisoners, the number of people that are actually locked up in the United States, which of course is the largest number of prisoners I think in any country throughout history, are the amount that are currently incarcerated in the U.S. But when we're talking about the Canadian context, you know, there's very much a need to organize and educate ourselves around what's happening right here, because as I mentioned towards the top of the hour, Canada, the Canadian state, is currently investing $10 billion over the next 5 years in order to put towards building new prisons, expanding current ones. There's been, you know, a target set, in fact, by the Conservative government to expand the number of inmates in Canadian prisons. And already, you know, they're estimating how many thousands of more prisoners are going to be coming into Canadian prisons as a result of these new laws that are essentially eliminating the two-for-one that, you know, basically before sentencing, if you, the time you've served in pre-sentence custody, that no longer is going to be afforded to you, you're no longer going to be credited with that. So people are going to be staying in jail longer. And in order to fill this demand, there's going to be more prisons constructed, many of which are going to be private prisons as well. Once again, very much inspired by the prison industrial complex, which operates at maximum, even above maximum capacity in the United States. When we talk about the youth jail, that was another project that I think we really see kind of a preview of what's going to be coming more and more common in this country over the next few years, which is this massive prison that was built, super jail as it was even officially being known as, for youth in Brampton. And the way that it was being talked about was there's going to be all sorts of programs, there's going to be all sorts of special programs and services offered to the inmates there. And this is going to be really rehabilitative. There's going to be a special branch of the Toronto District School Board that's going to operate there. Like, it's really going to help out the prisoners. And in the end, what we see is now, once this prison has been constructed, and once there's actually been studies, or however limited they've been, studies that have been conducted into life as it goes on in that prison, is that none of these so-called programs, or very few of them, have actually been implemented. There are, in fact, rooms where these so-called programs are supposed to be social service programs are supposed to be held, that are closed, that are locked. There's nothing in them. The youth complain not only of very disturbing cases of violence between inmates, which of course are allowed and in some cases even encouraged by the prison guards, in the sense that they'll take a youth from a rival area of the city and put them in a cell, you know, where they know youth from another area of the city where there may be conflict are in. But even, you know, more than that, there is definitely a lot of reports of abuse from prison guards. In fact, at one time there was, when there was a complaints board set up from the ombudsman in relation to this youth jail, there was calls being put in almost, you know, a couple of calls almost every week. Of complaints of abuse and other sorts of infringements on human rights, cavity searches full, you know, strip searches without due cause, beatings, people being denied basic medical care, whether that was asthma medicine, whether that was you know, whatever else, and so there's really what instead we see is a nightmare, is horrific conditions for these youth that are being put in there. Many of them, these are people that are serving time even before they go to trial. So these are people, many of which have not even been convicted of a crime, many of which are in there for minor misdemeanors. Things, you know, whether that's minor drug charges, whether that's, you know, petty theft or whatever, being put in these conditions. Not to say that people that have somewhat more serious charges should somehow be or should somehow be allowed to live these conditions. But I mean, for all the prisoners there, it's horrible. So that's a preview, really, of what this is going to look like, what these new prisons, what these expanded jails are going to look like, despite all the promises that will be had of programs and rehabilitation and et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's our broadcast for today.
Should we quickly mention the event?
Yeah, the event that's going to be taking place September 11th
2010.
At Carlton Park, which is DuPont and Symington area of the city. It's going to be the third annual Justice for Owie basketball tournament against police brutality. Talking about not only the issue of police brutality, but all the issues, including the issues we've been talking about on today's program, prison system in Canada. You know, education, gentrification, all the issues that are affecting us within our communities. This is a tournament that's going to bring together youth from throughout the city. The past 2 years, many hundreds of people have been gathering in that park. Teams from all over the city. There are three divisions, 18 over, 16 to 18, and 16 and under.
20 and over,
16 to
18 and 19 and under.
That didn't make sense at all. 16 and under, 16 to 19, and 20 plus.
Yeah. This is correct.
But yes.
We've been struggling over the precise ages for the last little while.
Borders for that. Those categories. But yeah, so it's going to be a really good tournament. Definitely come out to it whether or not you play ball. If you do plan, you do want to make a team, it's a 3-on-3 tournament, up to 5 players allowed. There is a fee for entrance, $5 for under 16, and $10 per player for over 16. And there's also cash prizes to be awarded to the winning team, $500 for the two older divisions and $250 for the youngest division, as well as some free lunch being provided, speakers, performers, and everything else. So come out regardless if you play or not. And we're going to be talking about all these issues, you know, that are really facing us and making the connections. So.
And to be clear, it's about the police violence within our communities. It's not so much directed towards, for example, the G20 stuff, where a lot of people have been over the last little while saying it's an unprecedented amount of violence directed towards Torontonians. However, we know what the raids throughout the city in the low income areas, people have been denied access for lawyers for weeks at a time, similar to the G20 stuff. We know that the brutality and the physicality of the violence is unmarked by anywhere else. So, you know, it's targeted towards specifically racialized and low income communities who face the real brunt of police brutality. You know, so that's what we're looking out for, and that's what the tournament's directed towards.
Definitely. So, Justice for Owie, 3-on-3 basketball tournament. You'll see it on the Basic site. You'll see it posters up throughout the city, in your neighborhood, at your ball court. So, please come out. I think that's Radio Basics for today, August 9th. Stay tuned tomorrow, CHRY's Day of Programming on Prisoner Justice Day, and hopefully you'll catch the interview that myself and Dave are just about to do with Fred Hampton Jr. If not, you'll be able to see that interview as well as today's full show provided on a link to the Basic site.
And also, listen on. We ate up about 5 minutes of Vince's blue show, so keep listening. We apologize, Vince. We'll catch you next week. Radio Basics.
CHRY. Salute to all the prisoners, political prisoners in Canada and the U.S.
We got to stop it, brother. Let's get together and unify. Trouble.
An oppressed person will fight back.
Radio Basics.
And there's always a message involved.